Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. As we look forward to the dialogue and discussion, we're going to be covering the serious issue of the mass shootings that we've seen just in the past several days and the looking at the rationale. What's behind it? What's the answer? How do we resolve it? How did we get to this point in America? What are the causative factors? Is it something that we can control? Is it something that is out of control? Is it something that is beyond the control of man? Is it something that we ought to be concerned about and try to enact some type of legislation to modify, to mitigate, or to change it in some fashion? Those are some of the questions that begs to be asked, and dare say we must answer them before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in. Let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's our telephone number. That telephone number gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have this dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about today drugs and not guns, or if you want to put another title to it, is it God's judgment on America, that which we're seeing in the mass shootings? Is God judging our nation? But I think we need to look at a very definite answer to that question. And I pray that by the time this broadcast is over today, that you'll have some insight on that question and some answers to it. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. I don't know of any other book. I don't know of any other source. I don't know of any other place that we can go to find an answer for the dilemma and for the difficulties and for the darkness that our nation is facing today than to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the book of books. It is the book of life. It is the book that gives us insight and direction on the issues that we're faced with. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the question begs to be asked, what is truth? Jesus answers that question in John 17:17, wherein Jesus makes this statement, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is nothing more, nothing less than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So don't you dare think that we do not have answers for the issues that we're faced with today. We do. And it's found in the book, the Bible, someplace between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22. Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful, delighted to tell you today that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start your own landscaping or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also carries equipment that the homeowner and that can use. And the brands are Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment today. And may I remind you that Tools for a Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about power backup and the need for generators. Tools for a Time, located at 11291. That's Tools for a Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's where the gigantic flag stands at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. You look to see Old Glory standing about 165 feet in the air at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, and you look down, and that's Tools for Time. And they're sponsoring today's broadcast. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, and we're talking about today, that very serious issue that we've had looming all over all of the network news, the cable news, for the past 48 hours or so. Ladies and gentlemen, our hearts go out to the victims' families of both the mass shootings, El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. May I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the latest news indicates, and it could go higher based on the ones that are in emergency room and still in surgeries and ICU, et cetera, in those two states. But based on the officials, both cities are calling the shootings domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism. In total, I believe there's about 29 people that were killed and about 50-plus people that were injured in some fashion. I want us to talk about some things about these two shooters and what we find today as some facts that are perhaps overlooked, facts that are perhaps no one wants to talk about. For example, the Ohio shooter had on his Facebook account a message that said, "I'm going to hell and I can't be fixed." I'm going to hell and I can't be fixed? Ladies and gentlemen, that's indicative of the fact that there was not a spiritual heart at all. That's indicative of the fact that there were problems beyond the control of man. It's not a gun control issue, and I'll tell you that about that later in the broadcast. It's not an issue of gun control. It's a matter of spirit control, and that's what we ought to look at and recognize. But ladies and gentlemen, the 21-year-old that did the shooting in Texas is now in jail and will face capital murder charges, I'm told. Capital murder charges. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society where the Democrats, socialists are rejecting anything called the reinstitution of capital punishment. And yet we're hearing them say that we need to charge this shooter with capital crimes, capital punishment, that is, putting him to death, executing him. And I believe that that's biblical. You find that, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the 9th chapter, where God instituted capital punishment. Whether society wants to agree with it or not, whether society wants to shun our and shirk our responsibilities biblically speaking or not, nevertheless, we cannot get away from the fact that God instituted and ordained capital punishment. You take a life, you die. And we have gotten way away from it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in at this point. I believe part of the problem that we're faced with in America with these mass shootings is because these killers want their name and lights. They want to be recognized. They want their 15 minutes of fame. They want to be looked at as being some super person and personality. And if you were to have it understood that, okay, you commit a capital crime, we're going to put you to death, son. I believe that would absolutely stop within 24 hours across America some of what we're seeing. Because most of these folks, even though we know they've done it, video footage shows that they've done it, they'll be incarcerated for 10, 15, 20, 25 years before they ever meet their judgment day. That is not biblical. There ought to be quick and harsh punishment when these things take place. But ladies and gentlemen, the shooter that was in Ohio was neutralized by the police. That's a euphemism that says that the police killed him. He was absolutely neutralized by the police after they arrived at the scene within 30 seconds of the call. Now, they started out on the broadcast on the news media saying it was less than a minute. They narrowed it down when they checked the clocks and checked the calendars and the time frame of all that had taken place. They narrowed it down that in reality, the law enforcement in Ohio, because they were on the ground, they were right there, didn't have to get in a squad car, didn't have to zip through traffic. They were right there, and they were able to neutralize the shooter within about 30 seconds, according to the news. The shooter in Texas evidently expected to be killed. He was expecting to die because he had left behind what is called a manifesto, in which the shooter made several very revealing statements that give us a window inside the rationale of this man's feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you agree, perhaps you disagree with some of the things I'm going to say today. And it is my prayer that we sit up, smell the coffee, as the old cliche goes, and understand what's happening and understand what we need to do and how it needs to be handled. And let me give you a little insight. What needs to be done and how it needs to be handled is not what Beto O'Rourke is saying. It's not what the 20 socialist democratic candidates for running for president are telling us. It is not. That is not the answer. They blame it on President Trump, by the way. that somehow, some way, President Trump is responsible for every ill that takes place in America. If somebody stumps his toe, you can look back somehow, some way, President Trump was involved in it, and it caused him to stump his toe. And that's what they're trying to do now in relationship to these latest mass murders. But this individual in Texas left a manifesto, and it reveals to us what I think is some insight. In that so-called manifesto, and by the way, law enforcement is not completely satisfied that it's from him. I think it was. But in that manifesto, he rambled. I've read the entire so-called manifesto. He rambled. And in that rambling, he was talking about the unchecked immigration problems. And he even states in that manifesto that will most likely not be revealed on public news. He stated in that manifesto that his feelings were pre-Donald Trump, that before President Trump went in office, these were his feelings. These were his hang-ups, if you will. These were the things that he was anguished about, was the fact of the unchecked immigration problem. Also, he has some ramblings about the Democratic Party's stand on illegals coming into America. And he ultimately was talking about, as he rambles, about the collapse of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know the man's heart, and neither do you, neither does Beto O'Rourke or any other socialist Democratic candidates for president. Neither would any of the fake media people have any insight into the man's heart. But I can tell you, based on what I've read in relationship to it, he was churning inside because he is watching and seeing there seems to be no control over the issues in Washington. There seems to be no control over the issues that are absolutely most relevant to the hearts of the, and lives of people in America. And part of that being, if you look at the statistical data gathered in the past several months now in relationship to out of the top 10 priorities, the top 10 problems, the top 10 issues that the citizens in America are concerned about, up at about 70% is the immigration problem. So you can say, if you wanted to ramble and say that this is the evidence of a man that was a anti-America, or that he was a white supremacist, he happened to be white, but to call it a white supremacist because he was simply talking about those issues, I think is a misnomer and it's disingenuous. That's my personal opinion. But let's look briefly at the shooter's personal resume, as I call it here. I have just jotted down about six things that I believe, after scanning over all of the news articles, reading all of the findings, that I could put my hands on this news cycle. I find six things that basically tell us who this shooter is and what his problems were. Now, understand, listen, before I go any further, let me simply say, the underlining problem, the underpinning fundamental problem with what we're finding with any shooter, they're saying, well, was it a hate crime? Sure, it was a hate crime. Anytime you murder somebody, it's because of a hate in the heart. It's a heart problem. It's a lack of a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. It is a problem that says that manifests itself as a result of, and we'll talk about this in detail during the course of this broadcast, it's a heart problem that's manifesting itself as a result of the absolute vicious, vile videos that these kids are growing up watching. It's as a result of no father in the home in most cases, and both these cases that was true. It's as a result of having drugs that absolutely destroy the heart and the mind of an individual. And ladies and gentlemen, I can prove that statement in research that's on my desk right as I speak, that it's a drug-saturated society that is probably the promulgating factor in most, if not all, of these shootings. But here are six basic things I boil down about the shooter, and I'm not going to give them the privilege of me calling the name of either of the shooters on this radio broadcast. They will remain nameless for the benefit of this program. But this particular shooter, 21 years old in Texas, El Paso, Texas, he said that he did not participate in any extracurricular activities. His words, he was a loner. He was a loner. So listen, he admits to on his social media pages, I am a loner. I do not participate in any extracurricular activities. That is, no sports activities, etc. And I was talking about when he was in school. And he's just 21. It hadn't been but a year or so since he'd been out of school. I don't know the details of that factor. Secondly, a former neighbor said that he spoke negatively about students in his school that played any sports. I just made a little marginal note. He was jealous of other students. Number one, he's a loner. Number two, he looks at with disdain and animosity and jealousy of those that have the skills and participate in sports. Number three, he sat alone on the school bus. One student said of the shooter that he was standoffish and did not show any interest to interact with others. Goes back to the fact he's a loner. He is a seclusionist. He is jealous of others. He has animosity toward others. Number four, his Facebook account showed that he had only three friends following him on Facebook. Only three. Goes back to the key thing. He was a loner. His Facebook account showed that he had only three friends that was following him on Facebook. It is also reported that he would not talk with people. No one really knew him. Each individual that's been interviewed about him, they would try to jabber a little gibberish for a moment or two, and I've seen three or four of those interviews, and then they will ultimately trickle down to saying, well, nobody really knew him. No one really knew him. He was secluded. He was a loner. He had animus toward others that participated in sports. And the final thing that I want to say about this man, that all of the evidence shows and what has been written about him by other former students in school, said that students at school mocked him, laughed at him, made fun of him, and ridiculed him. Now, listen very carefully. That would have an effect on anybody's psyche. That would have an effect on anyone's personality. That would have an effect on anyone that's already withdrawn and secluded as a personality. So we're looking at a profile of a 21-year-old young man that was an outcast in society. He was mocked and ridiculed and rejected and demeaned by everyone that knew him. So he hated people. And most likely, and I'm saying this hypothetically, he was most likely either on drugs at the time or had been on drugs. And I can validate that from a list of about 39 or 40 events in the past number of years of shootings. And in every case, hear me, every case, the individual doing the shooting was on marijuana, cocaine, or some other high-powered drug. And even some, many of them, if not most of them, were on prescribed psychotropic drugs that controlled the mind and caused an action that was beyond themselves had they not been on the drugs, the mind-altering drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, the shooter is still responsible. Not trying to take away that. The shooter, the killer. These killers are still responsible. One, by the way, there's no need to be concerned about the future. He's been neutralized. He's been taken out. But he's the one that I said earlier that he had on his Facebook account. In that Facebook account, he made a very staggering statement that I'm going to hell and I just can't be fixed. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a sense there in that mind, I believe, that said, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I cannot do anything about it. And that's because he was under the full control of the demons of hell, and Satan had a grasp on his life. And I want us to understand that with all of these shooters, I believe that's the case. And I believe the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need Jesus Christ more than anything else in our society today. But we ban God out of the hallways of Congress. We ban God in the classrooms. We ban the Bible. We ban prayer. And yet we cry out, what in the world are we doing? And how can we fix this problem? We divorced ourselves from God. And yet somehow we expect some supernatural divine intervention to stop these shootings and to stop the killings. Ladies and gentlemen, the shooter is still responsible. It's the crime of murder. But I don't believe he meets the title, as these shooters are being called, a white man with a manifesto. And that's what Beto O'Rourke and other socialist democratic presidential candidates have said, that he's a white man with a manifesto and happens to have a gun in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, that designation has been verbalized by the politician. But I believe, listen very carefully, race and skin color is not the issue. Race or skin color is not the issue. This shooter was lost and without hope. Both of these shooters were lost men carrying out the dictates of their heart. And I believe I can make that application, that assertion, without any equivocation, without any fear of being contradicted or proven wrong. I can make that assertion, that accusation, without any equivocation for any of the shooters that we've had in the modern times in America, notwithstanding the jihadist Islamic shooters. They're wired different. Their goal is to destroy. Their goal is mass murder. The way a jihadist shooter, mass murderer, gets to paradise is by carrying out an act of jihad, murdering someone in the name of Allah. We're not talking about that. That's not the issue today. What is at issue here is that we're witnessing what I believe is God's increasing judgment falling on America. Falling on America. We should look into the shooter's drug habits, not his shooting skill. Did he use marijuana? Was he on some kind of mind-altering drugs? In most cases, this element is never investigated, or if it is, it's never seriously reported as being one of the factors involved. Why should I say that it is a possibility that we're looking at God's judgment on America? I believe that's the case. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article, and I've just highlighted two or three brief sentences. Ohio gunman had bulletproof vest was stopped within 30 seconds of opening fire. The gunman in the deadly rampage in Dayton, Ohio, was wearing a mask, bulletproof vest, earplugs, and was carrying a rifle capable of holding hundreds of rounds when he opened fire outside of a bar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it sounds as though this was a bar incident. It was not. Everybody was on the streets. And when the shooting started in the openness on the streets, everybody started rushing into the nearest door, and that would happen to be a bar. And it just so happened that the police officer got the call, they were rushing to the scene, and one of them was able to neutralize him before he ran into the bar, where had he gotten in, he could have killed hundreds of people with the rounds that he had of ammo. This article goes on to say, and this is the point that I want to bring out for this broadcast today. This article says, there's nothing in this individual's history or record that would have precluded him from purchasing that firearm, according to the police chief. The point that I want to make is, he had gotten the weapons legally. So if we listen to the gun advocates today, there's a mindset that we need to somehow outlaw guns. We need to ban guns. If you ban guns, only outlaws are going to have guns. Banning weapons, banning our, destroying our Second Amendment right is not the way to resolve this issue. I believe it is an issue that is beyond what we are looking at from the surface level in society today. I believe we're looking at an issue that is, I could say very simply and very carefully, that it's God's divine intervention and God's judgment that's poured out on a nation, and it's increasingly so simply because of what we have done as a nation. Why do I believe that? Number one, we murder more human beings by abortion each day. We murder more individuals by abortion year after year than those killed in both these Texas, both the Texas and Ohio shootings. Now, I understand that's a harsh statement. In fact, I've not tried to pull up the records, but I'd be willing to tell you that the murders in Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, and other major socialist democratic-controlled cities in America just in the past 24 hours would equal to or more than these two shootings. Yet you're not hearing anything on the newsreels by fake media about that. You're not hearing anything that talks about what causes that in these cities where mass murder takes place every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the inner cities. And it's simply because of what is taking place there. And most of that which is taking place, let me just jump to the end result. Most of that which is taking place causing the shootings in these major cities, especially those that are controlled by socialist Democrats, have been for 40, 50, and 60 years, is because of rampant drugs. It's because of fatherless homes. It's because of juvenile delinquency that's not been brought under control and are disciplined. It's because of a lack of police enforcement in our cities, because the socialist Democrats are not wanting you to stop and frisk someone, are not wanting you to ask questions. Simply, a police officer is supposed to be your friend, supposed to be able to stand there and allow you to dump water on them and do nothing about it. That's what we have declined to in America, and as a result of that, we're watching this repercussion. We're murdering more today by way of abortion than we're seeing on a daily basis of these mass murders and the shootings. Number two, We're destroying our kids today by legalizing marijuana. Yes, we have legalized marijuana. Some 33 states causing that incalculable number of deaths, mental illness, homicides, suicides, and problems today as a result of legalizing drugs in America. And yet we do not hear, when this comes up, we do not hear any of those advocates for legalizing marijuana, legalizing pot, and pot is the open door. Pot is the absolute open door for all other drugs in America. And those mind-altering drugs will cause one to do exactly what we've seen these two guys do in the past 48 hours in America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question and the comment, please.
Yes. It's good to be on the air with the Black Road Patriot this morning.
Thank you so much. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this happens to be one of our four sons. We've got four boys, four sons. I'm thankful for each one of them as they serve the Lord and for the gifts and talents and abilities God's given them. This is Greg. And Greg says, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for your edification, that when the rapture comes, he's going to get to heaven sooner because he's up in the mountains in Tennessee, and he'll get there sooner.
I'm just a little closer to heaven. That's all.
That's what I understand. What do you think about what I'm saying today? Where do you jump in on this subject? How would you respond to what I have gleaned from the evidence and the reports?
Well, yeah, I've missed a lot of what you had to say. However, I've kind of been compiling, doing my own little research, and chasing threads online, and it's very interesting because you do have a correlation. You know, some would argue there's a logical fallacy when you jump from correlation to causation. However, when you have correlation, it just keeps showing up. You have to look at it. You know, and when you find just about every one of these mass shootings, you've got a person that's on medication. They're on Prozac or, you know, one of a dozen different kinds of medications that are mind-altering. That has to be looked at. And you also look at the fact that just about every single one of them, you'll find that there's not a dad at home. They either grew up without a dad, or they go back to a home where there's not a dad. And I don't mean because they just shot him on the way out the door. I mean, they grew up without a dad in the home. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that correlation keeps showing up in these circumstances. But you also add to that the fact that for decades now, the left has attempted to kick God out of every area of public life. You know, we used to have hanging on schoolhouse walls across America the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill. And, of course, the top of the heat there, you know, the explanation, the underlying rationale, there's a God that you must answer to. You know,
Greg, we've got about 45 seconds to go on this segment, and when we have our station break and our high news at noontime, I want you to hang in there so we can complete the discussion. Go ahead and wrap up in about 40 seconds.
I'll do that. It troubles me to realize that left, they always jump to the let's take your guns. Well, the areas where these crimes most often happen are areas where the guns have already supposedly been taken away. So let's apply a little bit of logic today.
Well, at the Walmart store, it was a gun-free zone. It was noticed on the outside perimeter of the facilities, gun-free zone. And so what better place to go in than and massacre people than have a gun-free zone where you know no one's going to retaliate, no one's going to be able to shoot back?
It's a shooting gallery, and these folks know they're many times not going to get shot back at.
Hang on. Come back with us right after the news. Ladies and gentlemen, be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.